Dad left on the supply ship San Joaquin the next day with Manfred Trujillo and a couple other colonists who were going as representatives of Roanoke on political and cultural business. That was their cover, anyway. What they were really doing, or so Jane had told me, was trying to find out anything about what was going on in the universe involving Roanoke and who had attacked us. It would take a week for Dad and the others to reach Phoenix Station. They'd spend a day or so there, and then it would take another week for them to return. Which is to say, it'd take another week for everyone but Dad to return. If Dad's inquiry went against him, he wouldn't be coming back. We tried not to think about that. 3 days later, most of the colony converged on the Gugino homestead and said goodbye to Bruno and Natalie, Maria, Katharina, and Enzo. They were buried where they had died. Jane and others had removed the missile debris that had fallen on them, reshaped the area with new soil, and set new sod on top. A marker was placed to note the family. At some point in the future, there might be another, larger marker, but for now it was small and simple. The family name, the name of the members, and their dates. It reminded me of my own family marker, where my biological mother lay. For some reason, I found this a little bit comforting. Magdi's father, who had been Bruno Gugino's closest friend, spoke warmly about the whole family. A group of singers came and sang two of Natalie's favorite hymns from Zhang Guo. Magdi spoke, briefly and with difficulty, about his best friend. When he sat back down, Gretchen was there to hold him while he sobbed. Finally, we all stood, and some prayed, and others stood silently, with their heads bowed, thinking about missing friends and loved ones. Then people left, until it was just me and Gretchen and Magdi, standing silently by the marker. "He loved you, you know," Magdi said to me suddenly. "I know," I said. "No," Magdi said, and I saw how he was trying to get across to me that he wasn't just making comforting words. "I'm not talking about how we say we love something or love people we just like. He really loved you, Zoe. He was ready to spend his whole life with you. I wish I could make you believe this." I took out my PDA, opened it to Enzo's poem, and showed it to Magdi. "I believe it," I said. Magdi read the poem, nodded. Then he handed the PDA back to me. "I'm glad," he said. "I'm glad he sent that to you. I used to make fun of him because he wrote you those poems. I told him he was just being a goof." I smiled at that. "But now I'm glad he didn't listen to me. I'm glad he sent them, because now you know. You know how much he loved you." Magdi broke down as he tried to finish that sentence. I came up to him and held him and let him cry. "He loved you too, Magdi," I said to him. "As much as me, as much as anyone. You were his best friend." "I loved him too," Magdi said. "He was my brother. I mean, not my real brother." He started to get a look on his face. He was annoyed with himself that he wasn't expressing himself like he wanted. "No, Magdi," I said. "You were his real brother. In every way that matters, you were his brother. He knew you thought of him that way, and he loved you for it." "I'm sorry, Zoe," Magdi said, and looked down at his feet. "I'm sorry I always gave you and Enzo a hard time. I'm sorry."
"Hey," I said gently. "Stop that. You were supposed to give us a hard time."